Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back, Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hugh Douglas, Yo Zilla, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. Who is it on it to fix it now? Who is this on to fix this Eagles mess? And don't put your head in the sand and tell me it's not a mess. This is messy. I mean, this is a messy situation with the quarterback, the wide receiver, the Brandon Graham thing. And here we go as the Eagles try to get ready for a huge game against the Steelers. I think it's on Nick Sirianni to fix this thing. He's the head coach. He's the culture guy. Do what Andy Reid could in all those years ago. Put the quarterback and the wide receiver back together and do not let this thing fall apart. You know, last year it was okay to make an excuse and say, listen, yeah, Sirianni let it fall apart. The culture got ugly, but the defense was so bad. What was he supposed to do? There's no excuses this year. This team is good enough, personnel-wise, on both sides, to go win the Super Bowl. Sirianni's got to put it back together. 215-592-9494. We got Sirianni's press conference coming up here. I'm sure he'll be asked about all this, but Hugh Douglas over here thinks this is on the players to fix this.
It's definitely on the players. Because they're the ones that know the intricacies of everything that's going on. And this is an easy fix, man. I know it sounds as simple as it can be, but throw the man the ball. Help it, like, whatever the offense is or whatever the plays are being called, get him involved early. Cool him out. That's it. That's all you have to do. I mean, and everybody's talking about, well, why are you appeasing a malcontent or whatever? Mm-hmm. Because we're trying to get to Louisiana. This ain't your children. Like, folks do this all the time. When your kid's in the store and they're yelling and screaming for toys, what do most parents do? Go buy them a toy. So don't act like, you know.
You do that?
No, I don't do that.
Yeah, I don't either. Say no, but Harper, you preach.
But no, Harper don't try me like that. Well, he'll try his mom.
Okay, but wait, because he knows that you won't allow it. Sirianni's allowing this, and that's why these guys know it.
But it's one of those things where in this situation, because it's so raw that help him out. Just throwing the ball.
So man. I hear you. And Hugh, I think there's a lot.
And I think there's been a conscious effort to do that, and for whatever reason, it hasn't happened.
So they could try that. But can I also get the head coach to sit down with A.J. Brown and say, we're going to try. We want you involved. You're a big part of this. But if you don't get the ball and we're winning, I need you to calm down.
Can I play devil's advocate?
Sure.
What if that has been the conversation? Because if I'm not mistaken, I think Coach Sirianni said in the press conference one time that, you know, we got some good receivers and we're going to try to give them the ball. But right now, whatever, the running game, whatever.
The game, yeah.
I feel like that conversation has been had, and now there's been an effort to get the ball to the playmakers, but for whatever reason, it hasn't happened, and I think that's where the frustration lies.
Well, there's a lot of frustration here, and they got to get it fixed. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down on this? Who is this moron? We got a lot to get to on the show. Sirianni coming up. Oh, what if Wednesday, Elliott? With a lot of things to talk about. And later in the show, we'll give a little hot stove roundup on the Phillies. Winter meetings coming to an end. We know the Phillies signed a relief pitcher, Jordan Romano. But there's some big names out there. And what the manager said about the trade stuff and rumors around Alec Boehm. I'm not buying what Rob Thompson said yesterday. But first, here's Joe Capatti. More on what he sees film-wise. Watch the Jalen Hurts and Eagles offense.
No, the passing game is not good right now. I mean, you can point to Jalen Hurts certainly needs to play better. I think structurally there are things they need to do. They need to lean into play action more. They need to throw the football downfield more. Jalen Hurts is throwing the football downfield less than he ever has in his entire career. You know, I don't think this is built to be kind of a station-to-station passing game. You need explosive plays with these wide receivers, and when the plays are available, he needs to pull the trigger. I mean, the first play of the second half last week, they tried to get A.J. Brown involved again. They go under center, play action. It's got to be thrown in rhythm on the right side to A.J. Brown, and Jalen Hurts doesn't throw the football. So, again, he's just playing very conservatively right now. And so I would like to see them early on in the football game dial up some shot plays and say, hey, if there's a gray area there, give your wide receiver a shot. Don't play. We don't want to turn the football over, but we also don't want to get too conservative, because I do think it swung too far in that direction with the passing game.
I agree with Shiel there. This hour is sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes, fly, and fill up on wings and seven delicious flavors from Popeyes. All right, I'm going to use a new word here that I haven't heard this week. But
what you got?
I feel like everyone's saying this without saying it. So, Shiel just said he's become too conservative, right? He's too he doesn't want to throw an interception, right? He's not pulling the trigger. What did we hear earlier? PTSD from all the turnovers earlier in the season.
Yeah.
You know what he's playing in the passing game?
What's up?
Scared.
Jalen
Hurts is playing scared at the position where, now, when we had Seth on, and you've referenced this player, Jameis Winston, right?
Jameis lets that thing go.
He's the other end of the spectrum.
30 for 30.
Where he should be more scared, right? Like,
yeah.
we can't be throwing pick sixes and asking the Lord above to rescue us. Like, it's his fault. But, Hugh, there's got to be a middle ground with Jalen here where he is protective of the football, but he does throw it when the guy is wide open. Like, we've gone too far to the other end now.
Yeah. You have to have a little bit of a gunslinger in you, I think. And for whatever reason, Jalen has become that guy that doesn't like to put the ball in harm's way at any time. You know, because we harped on a lot the last couple of weeks, well, the first couple of weeks, how, you know, the turnovers were a big deal. And, you know, I know he's not a guy that listens to a whole lot of radio, but feels like he heard that. Mm. And then he swung the other way.
Is that coaching? Because I don't think he's really listening to us. Are they coaching it out?
I don't know.
I think,
and then the soundness of the running game, there's no telling, man. And this is the frustrating thing about it, because we all know former players and fans that in order for us to ultimately get to where we want to be, we're going to have to throw the football.
Of course.
And we haven't become more efficient in that area like we need to. We got 4 weeks left, and this is our toughest test this is our toughest task at the end of the season, and we're still nowhere near our potential. That's frustrating.
Yeah, it is. 215-592-9494. For this hour, sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes. Fly, fill up on wings and seven delicious flavors from Popeyes. Clay is on WIP. Hey, Clay.
How you guys doing, man?
Good, Clay. What's up?
Hey, man. You know, as you guys know, I live here in Kansas City, so I kind of get to look at Philadelphia sports from the outside looking in. I'm going to tell you, here in Kansas City, they're coming up with things to complain about, too, because I don't know if you're watching, but they're barely winning games. So I think when you're as good as the Eagles are, we tend to look at, you know, what's going to get in the way? What's going to trip us up? We need to realize, I get it, Joe. It's a little bit of a dumpster fire right now. We're still 11-2. Teams would kill to be in the position that we're in. You want to be the Giants right now? They flew a banner over the stadium, you know, basically like we are a dumpster fire. There's a couple stats I want to call out.
Go ahead.
Okay? Mm-hmm. AJ has like 800 yards on the year in 10 games. Okay? He missed three games. If you just put his average, which is 83 yards, he'd be in the top five in yards. Now, and he'd be in the top five in touchdowns most likely. Okay? Also on Sunday, for the first time in a long time, there was a play disparity. They ran 13 more plays than we did. Now, I'm not going to get into the fact that Jalen Carter blatantly got held five times and they didn't call it. Not that I don't watch the All-22 because I'm one of those psychos that does. But I'm just saying, I mean, like, things happen Sunday. I think that – I'm not saying the game was an anomaly, okay? But some things happened that caused AJ to not get as many bites at the apple. And one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, AJ was wide open on that play.
Wide-ass open.
And that was not even a dangerous throw because – Jalen is a very accurate thrower. He may not be the quickest to make the throw, but when he does make the throw, he's accurate. AJ was running to the boundary there. He was not going to put that ball in harm's way. And then also in the first half, there was a slant. He could have thrown it to AJ. He didn't. I don't know why. But I'll also tell you, if you look at the second half, very similar play, and Jalen smartly recognized that the defensive end dropped. So he didn't throw it. So I'm not saying we don't have problems, but I think we have to kind of let's tap the brakes a little bit here. We're 11-2. I think Kellen can scheme some things to get AJ and to get Devontae open early in games, start feeding them. But I mean, at the end of the day, guys, we're 11-2. Let's just kind of calm down here a little bit and let this work out. I think these are grown men. This is not the Donovan T.O. stuff, man. It's not. Let's not make it into that.
I hope it's not. But Brandon doing what he did, and Clay, great phone call. Brandon doing what he did set an alarm off for me. because a leader that's been here for 15 years felt the need to come out and say, hey, we got to fix this. That was different. And in terms of, hey, we're 11-2, let's be happy.
I can't take
we
that.
We did this
anymore.
Last year. I just,
my God. So,
yeah, we lived
how
that.
How quickly
we
forget.
Last year, they had a poor defense, and they were 10-1. It's just, that's the truth. And everyone said to me, Joe, it's 10-1. Why are you complaining about defense?
It's that he did it, Joe.
And that's what it was. And guess what we have now? We're 11-2 with a poor passing game. So we could just keep, like, I don't know. Like, do people like to live? Is ignorance really bliss? Or do you see a problem?
To some people it
and
is.
You talk through
no,
it.
We have to be able to point out flaws.
I know.
We just have to.
I mean, that's football in a nutshell. And we talk about it every week. As a former player, I can tell you, you go into a meeting, even if you won, and Coach Sirianni said it, you talk about the flaws, the fact that you didn't throw for over 100 yards. That's a problem. That's a problem
is.
Because now, you know, you're talking about a team that's scouting you in the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they're looking at that. You're fixing and working on your deficiencies every week. And the frustrating thing for this team right now is that they remain stagnant. As a matter of fact, like you pointed out, Joe, when you look at the stat sheet and you look at the passing game, it's gotten progressively worse every week.
It reminds me a little bit of the head in the sand Phillies stuff last summer. Like, the Phillies had some issues that kept popping up, but they had a nice record, right? They had the best record for a long time, or they jockeyed for position as the best record the entire season. But if you watched it, you saw, like, this stuff's not good. These individual problems, or just overall, they still chase a lot, all that kind of stuff. And then we got to the playoffs, and they got exposed. And I'm not, like, the Eagles could get around this. They could improve on it. But if it doesn't improve, they've got an issue.
Can I share the comp I gave you this morning?
Go ahead.
People aren't going to like this. This is like the 49ers with Jimmy Garoppolo. They were a great running team. They had a great defense for years. I mean, they had Robert Saleh, all those guys.
Young Bosa,
great defenses with the Niners. The one flaw that they had, and they dealt with it for years, was that when their passing offense push came to shove and they needed to throw the ball to win in big game situations, 2019 in the Super Bowl, and then what, in 21 in the championship game, you know what they couldn't do?
Throw it.
They couldn't throw the ball.
And that was Garoppolo. Garoppolo held as good as he was, and he had a nice completion percentage, nice stats, good passer rating.
They won a game where he threw the ball, he completed like 8 passes or something?
I think it was 6 of 8 in the title
game. Yeah. I mean, does that not scream the Philadelphia Eagles this year to you?
I think the difference is because, and Seth said it earlier, we've seen Jalen make some clutch throws. And I think that's the biggest difference because I can't remember, and I didn't watch a whole lot of Garoppolo play, but I can't remember him having clutch throws like that. This is why I think it's hard for people to move on from Jalen is because we've seen flashes, Kyle. I understand. I hear what you're saying, and I get it. But we've seen flashes of potential greatness when it comes to Jalen that we know for a fact that it's hard to find. It's hard to find a quarterback, man. It really, really is. And you don't want to give up on one if you think you could get him in a space where he can be productive and produce for you.
So not this isn't really a commentary on who's better, Jalen or Garoppolo, Jalen now, Garoppolo then. But at one point, people thought Garoppolo was going to be great. He was the highest paid quarterback in the NFL at one point when they traded for
Tom
him.
Tom Brady backup, yeah.
Right, like, and then as this happens to players, they get exposed. The more that they're asked to do, like, you
Kevin Cobb was that guy too.
Right, you realize, like, Jalen Hurts is a good player. He's had a very, very nice NFL career, especially considering where he was drafted. But it does feel like the more this goes on, the more he plays, the more you just see where he's weak. And we know where he's strong, obviously, as a runner, as a leader. I do think he throws a beautiful deep ball, especially in one-on-one coverage. That's what he does best on the field. But, like, the other stuff, like, this is the stuff that's an issue. It's funny this week, AJ saying what he said is not factually wrong. It's just has opened up this can of worms. I mean, there's like two issues here. One, is Jalen good enough right now? Probably not. Two, should AJ have said it? No.
Well, now you got me thinking. When's the last time we've seen Jalen Hurts take a deep shot one-on-one with AJ Brown?
It's been a while.
So my theory is, and I don't have my facts on this because I don't know it as well as a
Giants they completed one, maybe the Bengals.
Oh yeah, I forgot the Giants.
So
yeah.
My theory is teams the book is out. He won't take shots against zone. We're not going man-on-man against AJ and Devontae. The Jaguars one, remember, he hit Devontae in the back of the end zone for the one-handed catch. The mm-hmm. Giants one, you guys are referencing with AJ. Hugh, I'm concerned the book is out, and defenses are saying, hold on a second. If it's man, he throws it deep. If it's zone, he just holds it and pats it, and he's afraid of throwing coverage. We're not going man anymore. I mean, like, if that's the case, and defense have figured this out, The only way to fix this, Hugh, is he needs to figure it out now.
He needs to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
He needs to throw it into his zone, and he needs to complete it. Like, this is a copycat league. And the one thing I know for a fact is if you beat it once, then they'll get out of it. And with this running game, if they want to stay in the zone, make them pay. Pick the zone apart. Throw it to the open receivers and make them get out of that. So, you know, it's something that Jalen has to work through, and they need to help him work through that. I don't know what's going on in practice, and I would think that going into practice every week, you're trying to improve the passing game. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what they're doing, but he needs to be better. In order for us to get to where we want to be, he has to play better.
Yeah, there's no question. Tom in Middletown. What's up, Tom?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Tom?
Man?
Hugh, I want to agree with you on two things right away. I got BG's back because I've had several surgeries, and I know what those medications do.
I'll be trying to tell Joe and Kyle, man.
But Tom.
I don't be wanting to listen,
now,
man.
Now, don't you tell the truth, though, when you're saying the things maybe you shouldn't be saying? Doesn't mean you're not telling the truth, Tom.
Well, they make you think differently than what you would normally think. I'm telling you right now, and you say things. So I totally agree with you on that. That was the medication talking, because he is not that kind of guy. And I just know from experience, those medications can make you say things that you normally don't want to say. And then the second thing I want to agree with you is,
all right, Tom, we'll get back to you. Let's get to Nick Sirianni's press conference right now.
You talked to Jalen and AJ yesterday, and I know you're not going to go into the details, but if you did, can you give like a general sense of how it went?
I talk to these guys all the time about anything and everything, right? From the game to life to everything. So that's, like I said, that's just part of our process, is to go through every single day. You work on that every single day. And so, of course, I've talked to these guys. As far as, everything there, again, I see guys that are continuously trying to get better and better and better and working. Let's just talk about Jalen and AJ. I see them working to get better. I see them working to get better together, whether that's after an install meeting where they gather right here and talk about, how AJ will run a route or how Jalen will read, all those different things. They spend so much time on that. And I said this the other day, I think I probably said it on the radio, is like, you guys get to see 3 hours every Sunday in the most, where emotions can play as high as they're going to play in any particular. You get to see 3 hours of that. I get to see this every single day get to see these guys every single day and how they go about their business and how they interact with each other. I get to see them after practice working on routes together and talking how they're going to go. Again, I know there was assumptions of things and which is we get how that goes, but I can only go on my personal experience of how these guys interact every single day. And these guys are so locked in and focused to getting better and getting better together. So they're on the same page to go and accomplish the things we want to accomplish. And I witness that every single day, whether, again, like I said, of all these places they're talking. I know there's going to be a lot more questions on this. I can see guys kind of getting in their seats ready to ask me another question. But that's what I witness on every day. And all I can go off of, very similar to when y'all asked me about my relationship with Jalen, like at the beginning of the year, all I can go off of what I see in my personal interactions. But I understand that there are definitely questions that you guys are going to have based off of the last couple days.
The other day that this team has more 2022 vibes. Why do you think, what has changed to make this team better equipped to handle any potential hurdles or internal strife down the stretch?
We've put so much work into, the getting better every day, but getting better every day is just not a field thing. It is, we talk about tough, detailed, and together. And together has been something that we've worked on from the end of last year, right, through the off-season program. Our leadership council, what we all went through as a leadership council group together, myself, the players that were on it, and Cody, we've worked so hard in that. We've worked so hard in our connection as a football team. And I think again, the moments that you guys can see it in the 3 hours on a Sunday, and I know you guys are out of practice as well and talk to the guys and are in the locker room, but the moments that you can see it too is just the joy that you see after touchdowns and different things like that. And so I'm so confident that the work, just like you're confident in things that you work on the field continuously at practice, are going to show up in the game. You have that same level of confidence of the things that you work at in the classroom and in your culture. And that has been something that, again, we work, myself, a couple of the other coaches and the leadership council, some of the leaders on this football team worked so hard in the offseason and have continued. And I've seen those, you know, I've seen the guys in that game room in the back working, you know, doing things together more so than it felt. Again, maybe last year we had a little less of that, but it feels again like it then in the 2022 season. I see the guys and I hear about them going to dinners together and the time, you know, the spending the Thanksgiving together. And so again, there's just been so much work and so much emphasis on it, just like our tackling, just like our ball security, just like those different things. And so that's where you have the confidence, and that's where you see, man, because you have a feel of whatever year is like, and that's where you see of, hey, this is this vibe right here that I have. And again, I completely understand the, you know, what with what's transpired the last couple of days of why there'd be questions on that. But again, you go back on the things that you've put work into and your personal interactions and the things that happen in the building on a daily basis.
Like a directive from you. And if so, like, how do you relay that, like, in terms of making sure everyone's connected and doing those things? And how do you,
is that a directive of, yeah, I mean,
you talked about with the leadership.
I think at the end of the day, like when I said, hey, here's what our core values are, right? Blah, 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 blah. You know, As you come in there, I think I'm not saying something crazy. Like, our core values are teams that are tougher, you know, win, teams that are detailed win, teams that are together win, right? And so, like, I think those are just known truths of our identity and what we want our identity to be. And as we talk through it, you know, and we go through it, my job as a coach is to teach what exactly it means and what exactly it looks like, and then you go from there. But it's not like, again, why do guys buy into that or whatever, however you want to say it? Well, because they know, everyone knows that's the truth of football, you know, and you work every day to try to get better at those things.
Was your feeling when you were done talking to those guys, this is not what everybody on the outside is thinking what it is?
Yeah, to how I kind of answered Elliot, again, you go on your personal reactions, 100%. But we also understand of why it could look that way. You address, again, I won't get into what we talk about in team meetings, what my personal talks are with these guys, but we address everything and anything and everything that we need to, you know, because we address it, right? And because I would like for you guys to ask me the questions about the Steelers, because it's going to be a tough game, but I understand that these are going to be the questions today. And so, because I can't dictate of what questions you guys are asking me, but I can do this in the team, is that you address it, right? You talk about it. You put it out there so that you can be here and here only for the Pittsburgh Steelers, because this is a really good football team that's coming in here, and we got to be on our A game. And so, again, all our focus now, after you talk about it and after you go through all your conversations there, is, boom, now our focus is on this. But to answer your question, yeah.
So if you go back today, do you feel it?
John, I'm not even looking at you, so I'll come right back to you.
If you go back to the bye week, Jordan and Lane specifically gave you some feedback about the running game. Recently, has there been any feedback expressing frustration about the passing game?
We talk about everything, right? We try to get better on everything. So whether it's the run game, whether it's the pass game, whether it's we go through the same process each and every week, and we try to make sure that we're getting better at all areas of our game. So that's been part of it. Go ahead, John.
Feel it was with the team meeting, with the team back together, with all the noise out there, that maybe there was a little clearing of the air with the entire team.
So yeah, I think that's kind of what I was saying there. Is, yeah, I mean, again, you dress it to be able to move on, and again, yeah, same thing I said earlier.
Do you feel like you have more time and ability to address something like this season compared to last season, given the presence of Vic and Kellen?
Yeah, that's a good question. Again, you know, obviously when you're wearing more hats and you have a little less time. And so again, you still go through all those processes that you go through with the offense and with the defense and the special team. So, but yeah, you are able to step out a little bit more. I think I've kind of talked to you guys about this. I've been able to go to the defensive line room for a meeting as opposed to always being in with the quarterbacks or with the offense. And so that applies here as well, yeah.
Then what are the Steelers doing that is allowing them to be plus 17 in turnovers of differential? I mean, that's way above the norm.
Yeah, those defensive ends they have, that defensive line that they have is special. With Watt and Herbig, all right, and those guys, Highsmith, you know, those guys are outstanding. And Hayward, I mean, they got a lot of really good guys there. I think Coach Tomlin has done a good job there of having this is who they've been, and the physicality of a team coming after the football and protecting the football, running the football well. I got a lot of respect for Coach Tomlin and how he's done it for the consistency over this time, for this many years. And then, you know, they got good players in the secondary and at linebacker. Minka's an outstanding player that has a knack for the football. And so I know you can tell, you know, hopefully on our tape, what I always tell these guys is I want the opposing teams to see how we take the football away and how we take care of the football with our fundamentals. That's important to me. And you definitely can see that on the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's always and constantly on their mind. They got good players. They got good coaches. And you can see that the culture that they have is outstanding.
What did you like to see? Is kind of related. Overall, what was you talked in the best about your message to the team. So overall, what was your message this morning? And secondly, what's the overall mood of this team going into this Steelers game?
Yeah, just try to reemphasize. Again, won't get too much into the message, but just try to overall emphasize, you know, tough, detailed together. You know, that's been our kind of what we've talked a lot about this year is tough, detailed together, tough, detailed together, tough, detailed together, because those are the things that kind of embody all our core values. What was the second part, Sal?
What is the overall mood of the team?
Ready to go. Ready to go to work. Ready to what I've noticed about this football team is they're so locked in and determined to get better each day. And again, we don't really want anyone else talking to us about anything other than the Pittsburgh Steelers. But what if about this, you know, what about this scenario for the NFC East, or what about the one seed, or what about this? Or we're not focused on that. And these guys are so locked in and determined. How do I know that? How do I see that? I see them every day here. I see them in moments of like the week of Thanksgiving where, you know, nobody really blinked, and the day after Thanksgiving where it was just so locked into that, whether coming off of a tough game where you're banged up a little physically and going into a Wednesday practice locked in, whether you're coming off of a big win or a tight win or a loss, all right, it's been the same laser focus. And that says a lot about our team and our team, or our guys as teammates and our leaders on this football team.
Would you like to see Jalen improve on as far as the passing game is concerned?
We all got things to get better at. What I do know is what he's done really well is, you know, he's taking care of the football at an outstanding rate. You guys would know this better, but I know he's got however many touchdowns and interceptions to the last in this winning streak of how good he's been. You know, he's accurate with the football. He's been able to make plays with his feet as the, you know, as things break down or something not open. So he's done so many good things. And I think, you know, there is so much talk because I know I got to get ready to talk to you guys and hear all the talk about, hey, this or like at the end of the day, like the thing that doesn't get said enough about Jalen Hurts is he's what, 45-19 over the past 4 years. Like that's pretty darn special. And so do we all have things to get better at in the passing game? Yeah, I think that's obvious. I think that's what we've been talking about. We all have things that we got to get better at, coaches, players. But it's not just – this is why this is the greatest team sport there is. It takes everybody. It takes every single person being on the – you know, being together, every single person for the success to happen. It's just not a one-person thing. And so, you know, we're all working to get better. We've had some moments of being good. We've had some moments of not needing it. We've had some moments where we haven't been good enough. I think that's very – you know, you don't – again, all those things are true, right? Moments of being very good, moments of not needing it at all, where we haven't done it very much because we hadn't needed it in that game, and moments where we need to be better. But I think that's the nature of this game of football.
Two more, folks.
And in protecting against the Steelers defense, how have you seen Mailata step up this year, and how have you seen them embodying captainship since you made that decision?
Yeah, Jordan, one of the really outstanding leader. I think what's special about Jordan is he cares. You know, he is somebody that is constantly trying to help other people. I think that's what probably people voted him a captain for, is that Jordan is more worried that other people are taken care of before he is. And I think that's a sign of a really good leader. I really admire that about him. And that's a hard quality to have, because there's so many things you got to worry about for yourself. But he's just always focused on, how do I help somebody else out? How do I get this guy better? How do I get that guy better? I mean, I remember when my brother came with his coaching staff and during OTAs, he had his O-line coach here. And I look over after practice, and Jordan and Lane are sitting there talking to my brother's O-line coach for like 30 minutes. I'm like, what in the hell are they talking about? I'm like, well, Mike, who is that? What coach is that? He's like, that's my O-line coach. They just sat there and talked to him for 30 minutes of giving them ideas of how to get better. Jordan Lane didn't even know that guy, right? They didn't even know that guy. And I think that just kind of speaks to him. I'm grouping them both into this now, but and Lane's a lot like this as well, of like, they just care of how they recognize everybody, that it takes everybody from the scout team to the starter, to the quality control coach, to the head coach. They realize it takes everybody. They value everybody, and they're willing to help and get. I have goosebumps thinking about that. I appreciate that question, because that's how special I think Jordan Mailata is, and that's how special I think I brought Lane into it too, and that's how special I think those two guys are.
Last one, folks. We got to get out of here.
What are you seeing differently?
Go ahead, Zach. All right, I'll get you both. Say that again.
Russell Wilson. What are you seeing differently this year with him versus maybe what you saw in Denver the last 2 years?
Yeah, we didn't play Denver the last 2 years, so that's something I can't answer. I just know that he's been good for a really long time. He's playing really good football right now. I don't remember the last time that I've been on a team that's gotten ready to play. I don't think I've been on a team here that's played Russell Wilson, right? And so, you see him sometimes on crossover tape, but that's not how you're watching. If I'm watching, if the Denver Broncos were playing the Kansas City Chiefs and we were getting ready for the Chiefs, I'm watching the Chiefs defense. I'm not necessarily watching Russell Wilson, but good player, who's been a good player for a very long time. Lot of respect for him.
In these 4 years, you've been asked so much about personal relationships, whether it's coach, quarterback, receiver, you go on down the list. How much does that matter in a professional setting?
Man, I think big time. Anytime you go through any adversity, you need personal relationships. Anytime you go through any success where, you can get it, everything comes down to that. Again, I'd go back to this. You're willing to fight a little bit harder for somebody you care about. You're willing to stick up for the person a little bit more when it's somebody you care about. You're willing to go out. You're willing to work a little bit harder when it's somebody you care about. You're willing to scratch and claw and die a little bit more for somebody you care about. And so I think that's important. And I also think on the other end of that, Zach, is that when that you're able to get your coaching points across of what's important, because that person knows you care about him, and it's not an attack on him. It's how you were trying to get that person better. But they sometimes, you guys got to believe that based off of how your relationship is with them. So there's so many things. You want that extra effort. Like, this game is a game of inches, and it's such a league that the parity is so tight. So you want that extra effort from everyone. That's not why you do it. You do it because that's why we got into this. That's why I got into this, is you're still part of a team. You still have the relationships with players. You still have the relationships with the other coaches. But those are the fruits of it, right? Is, again, they go a little harder. But also, you open their ears a little bit more to, okay, this guy and I are tight. Let me hear what he has to say even more so here. Because, again, football is different from way back. It was like, you do it because I said so. Like, that's, you know, there is part where you talk, no one talks like that, right? It's just like you have to build the relationship to get your coaching points across.
All right, we're done.
All right, there it is, the Nick Sirianni press conference. He said he spoke to A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts. 100% confident they are fine. 215-592-9494. I'm less confident than that. Where do you come down on this? Who is it on to fix this moving forward? Is it Nick? You can react to what he just said there, or is it the players here? 215-592-9494. Is this still Sirianni's song, or do we have to switch it? I mean, it could be AJ's song. Could be Jalen. I mean, it could be Jalen's this week.
I didn't see the latest Joker movie, but I heard it was a musical, so maybe play something from the Joker movie.
Because AJ changed his profile pictures?
Yeah. Well, I didn't see the movie, so I don't know the musical selection, but I heard a lot of people were upset because it was kind of like a musical with Lady Gaga.
What if AJ comes out wearing face paint on Sunday, like Joker face paint?
I would
like,
not be mad at it.
He goes all in.
I would not be mad at it.
All right, so picture this. Mm-hmm. Sirianni's like, he texts Jalen. He's like, hey, I want to talk to you. Meet me here this time. Sends the same text to AJ. Jalen and AJ sit in the same room together. Mm-hmm. Door opens.
Do you know what's funny?
Nick Sirianni walks into this.
It's because we yell and scream at grown men, but we're doing childish stuff to try to get them to talk. That's crazy. I just think that's crazy.
I'm up for any idea now to fix this thing.
And do y'all get why he changed his facial, what's it called, avatar to the Joker?
Because now he's the bad guy. Doing the whole llama villain thing?
Yeah, he's the bad guy.
I mean, my goodness.
He's doing the Tony Montana. Say goodbye to the bad guy.
Well, he started this.
I guess to a certain extent.
Well, he can't play the victim here.
Well, he better not do the thing like he did last year where the media twists words. I mean, these are your words. We're just replaying your words after the game. I mean, just because we have excuse maker Douglas over here making.
I'm not making excuses. I guess because I'm a little bit more forward thinking than you guys.
That's it.
No, I'm just saying I didn't take it the same way y'all took it.
I'm smarter than you, Douglas.
What the hell is that?
Usually forward thinkers aren't dummies.
I'm just saying. I just looked at it and I was like, that's not that bad.
You call it forward thinking. I call it coping.
No, I've heard some coping.
Oh, we've heard a lot this week.
The copers are the ones saying, why y'all making this a beat? I ain't said nothing about nobody.
Well, you're the one trying to act like he might not be talking about Jalen. I think that's done with now. Brandon Graham came on our station and
Brandon was high, but
he clarified in the morning. You're saying he was high both times.
No, he backtracked in the morning.
Well, but not
was
enough.
He backtracked
right?
so much.
Hugh, his backtrack was an apology, and then to say I made an assumption. That's more of a double down than a backtrack, dude.
Because at that point, we had a chance to talk. I'm like, hey, man, the rabbit's out the hat?
Yeah.
It's only so much backtracking, dude. You got to ride this one out.
You know what that backtracking was? That dress makes you look fat, and then you say, oh, I shouldn't have said that, but you still meant it.
You still fat, though. Yeah, you still fat.
Right.
I'm not saying he did lie. You still fat, but, you know. The dress made
if his backtrack was that I misspoke, I meant to say something different. Yeah. That's different. No. He said I made an assumption.
Yes.
That means what he observed from Jalen and AJ is not good.
Let me tell you.
Coping.
He made an assumption about something that he knows nothing about. That's just like me saying this is let me give you an example.
Here he goes.
I've never met your lovely girlfriend, right? Say, for instance, if I see you and her, I walk outside the building and I see y'all talking loud and I see you being like this and I run back up in the building. And I say, Joe, Kyle and his girlfriend, they're in a big old heated argument. It could be about you left your car keys upstairs.
No, but you're leaving out a massive piece of information because Brandon Graham sees Jalen and AJ every day.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
But you never met her.
But see, I see you every day.
Okay. So Brandon Graham is making his assumption is way more educated than any of ours because
saying,
he sees them every
saying,
day.
I'm not. But what I'm saying is this: from Brandon is not around those offensive players as much as you think he is.
But he's around them way more often than you, me, Joe, anybody who's calling in today,
and
all those people.
He's the longest tenured player. So that carries weight? Well, I think as much as he... Like, you're right, Hugh, and I understand your perspective. Defense players, offense players aren't always in the same room or whatever. But he's seen those two more than anybody else here for the past 3 or 4 years. Or Jalen, you know, 5 now.
You know what's funny, too? Because I heard Joe DeCameron say this morning. And I'm not making excuses. I'm just giving you an alternative perspective. Is Joe DeCameron said this morning that in a locker room where Jeremiah Trotter and Brian Dawkins was in, he couldn't fix T.O. and Donovan. Jeremiah Trotter and Brian Dawkins play defense. And most times We're doing defensive stuff.
That's why this is that was on Andy, and he failed at that. And this is on Sirianni.
This is one where, and I think that when you have leadership like Jordan Mailata, Lane Johnson, and all those guys, those offensive guys, they're the ones that can help this. They can help, I guess, what you call it, olive branch this thing.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is this: those two guys have to figure it out, because Coach Sirianni said something else too. He said from his purview, everything that he sees is hunky-dory, and he can only control what he sees.
Agreed on that.
So if they're acting like everything's cool and it's not, they have to fix that.
I know, but I put more on him because this is what he's supposed to do best. He's culture guy. And, like, he's not locked into his office coming up with plays every week. If he can't get the two of the three or four most important players on the team on the same page, then I question what he's here for. Like, for some perspective, let's go to Hulk Hogie, who's up next on WIP. What's up?
Hulk Hogie, for perspective. No, Hulk, I'm not laughing at just the way Joe said it.
I just want perspective.
I was not prepared for that.
We need perspective from Hulk Hogie.
Guys, what the hell happened? I leave you guys alone for a couple of days, and all hell breaks loose.
Oh, hell then broke loose.
He was fine.
Someone called Danny Watkins, because this is a dumpster fire. Do they not have a PR team over there? Why doesn't Sirianni just come out and say there's absolutely no issue? He's saying stuff like, I can only go on what I see every day. Just lie. You can't get charged with perjury. Why is he dodging it? Coaches lie all the time. He lied earlier this year and said he was calling defensive plays. All this tap dancing around it is just making it worse. And then you got Brandon Graham. He goes to backtrack it. But he even doesn't backtrack right. I just don't understand what's happening here.
Yeah, I don't either. We've established something very, very real on this show over the past few months. When in doubt, lie. I mean, we need to normalize lying to get out of bad situations, Hulk Hogan. I mean, everyone out here tap dancing around truth.
Where you been?
Tap dancing like Gregory Hines, dodging all the questions. Fangio's the only guy over there with any cojones. He calls people out in press conferences. Says, that guy's not doing that great. He could be doing this better. He could be doing that better. Sirianni should have came out and said, I don't know what was going on, but there's no problem between Hurts, A.J. Brown. They're both professionals. I don't know what you guys are talking about. But he comes out, from what I see, there's no problem. I just don't get it. And they're still trying to fix, Kellen Moore does the same thing. You ask him questions, he's dodging them in press conferences. Oh, we're working on it. We're working on it. This has energy of last year. I'm getting really mad, guys.
Hogie, we appreciate it. We appreciate the perspective.
Yeah, that perspective, that was deep.
I mean, he's not wrong. I mean, sometimes lying through something is better than trying to half-truth.
That's why you lie and say, I'm sorry. We're on the same page, Joe. We're just taking different routes to get there. We're on the same page.
I just don't know why you're absolving Sirianni from his.
I'm not absolving.
What's his responsibility this week? Just to sit back and reshuffle the core values, which he hit us with again today.
No, you know what his job is? If since we want him to sit down and talk to people,
yes,
I would say, listen, guys, we have an opportunity here to do something real special.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on with you two guys. But I'm going to treat you like grown men, and I'm going to let y'all work it out. Because we only go as far as you allow us to go, both of you, because you're both equally important. So if you can't work it out, then there's something that's going to happen. And I'll leave it just like that.
Well,
we can all leave it for speculation. We've all speculated about it. I heard Ike and those guys talking about yesterday how somebody, if we don't get it right this year, somebody got to go. So that's what's going to end up happening.
Well, let's hope it doesn't turn into a what-if. It is a what-if Wednesday sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes. Fly and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes.
It's time for What If Wednesday.
All right, let me throw one at you guys. I want you to tell me, like, paint the picture of what would have happened. Hugh, the Eagles will take on Russell Wilson this weekend. Mm-hmm. And we heard Sirianni in his press conference say that they haven't faced Russell since he got here as the head coach. The last time that the Eagles faced Russell, I believe, was the 2020 season, November Monday night game. They lost. In fact, they've never beaten Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is spotless against the Eagles, never lost them. Hugh, back in 2012, there was a lot of stories that said the Eagles were very interested in Russell.
Mm-hmm.
They thought they could wait a while in the draft to get him. They waited too long. Seattle ended up taking him right before the Eagles could have. Eagles ended up with Nick Foles. Obviously, that worked out well. But Hugh Douglas, what if the Eagles had actually just selected Russell Wilson in 2012? Andy Reid. I'll put it this way. Would Andy Reid still be the coach if Russell Wilson showed up right before what ended up being Andy's last season?
Strong possibility that's the case.
I think
when you talk about the success. You know what I remember about Russell is, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Seattle had just paid Matt Flynn a ton of money.
He took his job.
And I remember somebody was, I don't know what media platform, social media platform that they were hitting me on, but they kept telling me. They were in Seattle covering the game, and they were like, dude, this Russell Wilson guy, he can play. I remember vividly. And he was like, he's probably going to end up being the starter because he looks that good and all this other stuff. I could just imagine him with Coach Reid and what Coach Reid has been able to do with Patrick Mahomes. I would say, you know, we would probably be at least two, maybe three Super Bowls with Andy.
Three.
I don't know.
Man, I mean, you're not. It's not a crazy thought.
I'm not saying that you win them all, but at least one out of those three. I would say a few.
Russell got to two with Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
I do think they win one at least with Russell and Andy. Andy still might be here. Now, look, it worked out great, right? Nick Foles ended up the pick, and eventually he won them the Super Bowl. But that pairing would have been incredible in Russell's prime and Andy
awesome.
Reid. It would have been awesome. And
he's our next Donovan.
It would have been. It would have reset the clock on Andy. Ironically, though, I remember when the Eagles drafted Hurts, they referenced passing on Russell. Like, they almost saw some of Russell in Jalen, and they felt like they couldn't pass on it again.
Mm-hmm.
And
so they tried to make a mistake, correct a wrong.
Yeah, and look, it's obviously worked. I mean, they've won a lot of games, and he's had success and got to a Super Bowl. 215-592.
Like how your coach pointed out his record, too, at the press conference, too, 45-19. You heard him.
A winner, Hugh Douglas.
Yeah, you heard him.
I don't give a shit.
I'm just saying, Coach making his business to let y'all know that Jalen is his guy.
Is it our favorite crutch in Philadelphia sports right now? Jalen Hurts' win-loss record?
I'm just saying he did. I'm just saying he did it. Mm. He did it.
Okay. C-O-P-I-N-G.
What does that matter?
I'm just wondering what
a coach says publicly has anything to do with what he actually thinks privately. Do you think he's always telling us exactly what he thinks?
Well, coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, we'll hear from Rob Thompson, who lied yesterday. We'll talk about that. 215-5, at least my opinion, he lied. 215-592.
Daryl Morey lied about trading Ben Simmons and immediately traded him. So we're not going to trade Ben. And then traded him. I just want to let you people know that. Not you people, sorry.
I wanted to let you know that people lie.
Yeah, they do. Probably too often. 215-592-9494. All right, Elliot joins us next. A lot to talk about between Jalen, AJ, Brandon Graham, everything moving forward. Is this now a must-win game against the Steelers? And Elliot's going to have to tell us what happened in the locker room Sunday. I heard a little bit of it on the afternoon show yesterday. He was buttoning a player's shirt. We'll talk about it more. 215-592-9494. Midday show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Is this still Sirianni's song, or do we have to switch it? I mean, it could be AJ's song. Could be Jalen. I mean, it could be Jalen's this week.
I didn't see the latest Joker movie, but I heard it was a musical, so maybe play something from the Joker movie.
Because AJ changed his profile pictures?
Yeah. Well, I didn't see the movie, so I don't know the musical selection, but I heard a lot of people were upset because it was kind of like a musical with Lady Gaga.
What if AJ comes out wearing face paint on Sunday, like Joker face paint?
I would
like
not be mad at it.
He goes all in.
I would not be mad at it.
All right, so picture this.
Mm-hmm.
Sirianni's like, he texts Jalen. He's like, hey, I want to talk to you. Meet me here this time. Sends the same text to AJ.
Jalen and AJ
sit in the same room together. Mm-hmm. Door opens.
Do you know what's funny?
Nick Sirianni walks into this.
It's because we yell and scream at grown men, but we're doing childish stuff to try to get them to talk. That's crazy. I just think that's crazy.
I'm up for any idea now to fix this thing.
And do y'all get why he changed his facial, his avatar to the Joker?
Because now he's the bad guy. Doing the whole llama villain thing?
Yeah, he's the bad guy.
I mean, my goodness.
He's doing the Tony Montana. Say goodbye to the bad guy.
Well, he started this.
I guess to a certain extent he did.
No, honestly, he can't play the victim here.
Well, he better not do the thing like he did last year where the media twists words. I mean, these are your words. We're just replaying your words after the game. I mean, just because we have excuse maker Douglas over here making...
I'm not making excuses. I guess because I'm a little bit more forward thinking than you guys.
That's it.
No, I'm just saying I didn't take it the same way y'all took it.
I'm smarter than you, Douglas.
What the hell was that?
Usually forward thinkers aren't dummies.
I'm just saying. I just looked at it and I was like, that's not that bad.
You call it forward thinking. I call it coping.
No, I've heard some coping.
The copers
are the ones saying, why y'all making this a beat? I ain't said nothing. I ain't said nothing about nobody.
Well, you're the one trying to act like he might not be talking about Jalen. I think that's done with now. Brandon Graham came on our station and
Brandon was high.
But he clarified in the morning. You're saying he was high both times.
No, he backtracked in the morning.
Well, but not enough.
He backtracked so much.
Hugh, his backtrack was an apology and then to say, I made an assumption. That's more of a double down than a backtrack, dude.
Because at that point, we had a chance to talk. They're like, hey, man, the rabbit's out. What they say, the rabbit's out the hat?
Yeah.
You can't. It's only so much backtrack you do. You got to ride this one out.
You know what that backtracking was? That dress makes you look fat. And then you say, I shouldn't have said that. But you still meant it.
You still fat, though. Yeah, you still fat.
Right.
I'm not saying he did lie. You still fat, but, you know, the dress made you look fat.
If his backtrack was that I misspoke, I meant to say something different. Yeah. That's different. No. He said, I made an assumption.
Yes.
That means what he observed from Jalen and AJ is not good.
Let me tell you.
Coping.
He made an assumption about something that he knows nothing about. That's just like me saying, let me give you an example.
Here he goes.
I've never met your lovely girlfriend, right? Say, for instance, if I see you and her, I walk outside the building and I see y'all talking loud and I see you being like this and I run back up in the building. I say, Joe, Kyle and his girlfriend, they're in a big old heated argument. It could be about you left your car keys upstairs.
No, but you're leaving out a massive piece of information because Brandon Graham sees Jalen and AJ every day.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
But you never met her.
But see, I see you every day.
So Brandon Graham is making his assumption is way more educated than any of ours because he sees them every day.
But what I'm saying is this. From Brandon is not around those offensive players as much as you think he is.
But he's around them way more often than Joe, anybody who's calling in today,
and
all those people.
And he's the longest tenured player, so he
so that gives, much, that he carries weight?
Well, I think as much as he... Like, you're right, Hugh, and I understand your perspective. Defense players, offense players aren't always in the same room or whatever. But he's seen those two more than anybody else here for the past 3 or 4 years. Or Jalen, five now.
You know what's funny, too? Because I heard Joe DeCameron say this morning. And I'm not making excuses. I'm just giving you an alternative perspective. Is Joe DeCameron said this morning that in a locker room where Jeremiah Trotter and Brian Dawkins was in, he couldn't fix T.O. and Donovan. Jeremiah Trotter and Brian Dawkins play defense. And most times We're doing defensive stuff.
That's why this is that was on Andy, and he failed at that. And this is on Sirianni.
This is one where, and I think that when you have leadership like Jordan Mailata, Lane Johnson, and all those guys, those offensive guys, they're the ones that can help this. They can help, I guess, what you call it, olive branch this thing.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is this: those two guys have to figure it out, because Coach Sirianni said something else too. He said from his purview, everything that he sees is hunky-dory, and he can only control what he sees.
Agreed on that.
So if they're acting like everything's cool and it's not, they have to fix that.
I know, but I put more on him because this is what he's supposed to do best. He's culture guy. And, like, he's not locked into his office coming up with plays every week. If he can't get the two of the three or four most important players on the team on the same page, then I question what he's here for. For some perspective, let's go to Hulk Hogan, who's up next on WIP. What's up?
Hulk Hogan, for perspective. No, Hulk, I'm not laughing at just the way Joe said it.
I just want perspective.
I was not prepared for that.
We need perspective from Hulk Hogan.
Guys, what the hell happened? I leave you guys alone for a couple of days, and all hell breaks loose.
Oh, hell then broke loose.
Hughes,
someone call Danny Watkins, because this is a dumpster fire. Do they not have a PR team over there? Why doesn't Sirianni just come out and say there's absolutely no issue? He's saying stuff like, I can only go on what I see every day. Just lie. You can't get charged with perjury. Why is he dodging it? Coaches lie all the time. He lied earlier this year and said he was calling defensive plays. All this tap dancing around it is just making it worse. And then you got Brandon Graham. He goes to backtrack it. But he even doesn't backtrack right. I just don't understand what's happening here.
Yeah, I don't either. We've established something very, very real on this show over the past few months. When in doubt, lie. I mean, we need to normalize lying to get out of bad situations, Hulk Hogan. I mean, everyone out here tap dancing around truth.
Where you been?
Tap dancing like Gregory Hines, dodging all the questions. Fangio's the only guy over there with any cojones. He calls people out in press conferences. Says, that guy's not doing that great. He could be doing this better. He could be doing that better. Sirianni should have came out and said, I don't know what was going on, but there's no problem between Hurts, A.J. Brown. They're both professionals. I don't know what you guys are talking about. But he comes out, from what I see, there's no problem. I just don't get it. And they're still trying to fix, Kellen Moore does the same thing. You ask him questions, he's dodging them in press conferences. Oh, we're working on it. We're working on it. This has energy of last year. I'm getting really mad, guys.
Hoagie, we appreciate it. We appreciate the perspective.
Yeah, that perspective, that was deep.
I mean, he's not wrong. I mean, sometimes lying through something is better than trying to half-truth.
That's why you lie and say, I'm sorry. We're on the same page, Joe. We're just taking different routes to get there. We're on the same page.
I just don't know why you're absolving Sirianni from his.
I'm not absolving.
What's his responsibility this week? Just to sit back and reshuffle the core values, which he hit us with again today.
No, you know what his job is? If since we want him to sit down and talk to people,
yes.
I would say, listen, guys, we have an opportunity here to do something real special.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on with you two guys. But I'm going to treat you like grown men, and I'm going to let y'all work it out. Because we only go as far as you allow us to go, both of you, because you're both equally important. So if you can't work it out, then there's something that's going to happen. And I'll leave it just like that.
Well,
we can all leave it for speculation. We've all speculated about it. I heard Ike and those guys talking about yesterday how somebody, if we don't get it right this year, somebody got to go. So that's what's going to end up happening.
Well, let's hope it doesn't turn into a what if. It is a what if Wednesday sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes. Fly and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes.
It's time for What If Wednesday.
All right, let me throw one at you guys. I want you to tell me, like, paint the picture of what would have happened. Hugh, the Eagles will take on Russell Wilson this weekend. Mm-hmm. And we heard Sirianni in his press conference say that they haven't faced Russell since he got here as the head coach. The last time that the Eagles faced Russell, I believe, was the 2020 season, November Monday night game. They lost. In fact, they've never beaten Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is spotless against the Eagles, never lost them. Hugh, back in 2012, there was a lot of stories that said the Eagles were very interested in Russell.
Mm-hmm.
They thought they could wait a while in the draft to get him. They waited too long. Seattle ended up taking him right before the Eagles could have. Eagles ended up with Nick Foles. Obviously, that worked out well. But Hugh Douglas, what if the Eagles had actually just selected Russell Wilson in 2012? Andy Reid. I'll put it this way. Would Andy Reid still be the coach if Russell Wilson showed up right before what ended up being Andy's last season?
Strong possibility that's the case.
I think
when you talk about the success. You know what I remember about Russell is, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Seattle had just paid Matt Flynn a ton of money.
He took his job.
And I remember somebody was I don't know what media platform, social media platform that they were hitting me on, but they were kept telling me. They were in Seattle covering the game, and they were like, dude, this Russell Wilson guy, he can play. I remember vividly. And he was like, he's probably going to end up being the starter because he looks that good and all this other stuff. I could just imagine him with Coach Reid and what Coach Reid has been able to do with Patrick Mahomes. I would say, you know, we would probably be at least two, maybe three Super Bowls with Andy. I don't know.
I'm not saying that you
win them all, but at least one out of those three. I would say a few.
Russell got to two with Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
I do think they win one at least with Russell and Andy. Andy still might be here. Now, look, it worked out great, right? Nick Foles ended up the pick, and eventually he won them the Super Bowl, but that pairing would have been incredible in Russell's prime and Andy
awesome.
Reid. It would have been awesome. And
he's our next Donovan.
It would have been. It would have reset the clock on Andy. Ironically, though, I remember when the Eagles drafted Hurts, they referenced passing on Russell. Like, they almost saw some of Russell in Jalen, and they felt like they couldn't pass on it again.
Mm-hmm.
And
so they tried to make a mistake, correct a wrong.
Yeah, and look, it's obviously worked. I mean, they've won a lot of games, and he's had success and got to his Super Bowl. 215-592.
Like how your coach pointed out his record, too, at the press conference, too, 45-19. You heard him.
A winner, Hugh Douglas.
Yeah, you heard him.
I don't give a shit.
I'm just saying, Coach making his business to let y'all know that Jalen is his guy.
Is it our favorite crutch in Philadelphia sports right now? Jalen Hurts' win-loss record?
I'm just saying he did. I'm just saying he did it. Mm. He did it.
Okay. COPING.
What does that matter?
I'm just saying, I'm wondering what
a coach says publicly has anything to do with what he actually thinks privately. Do you think he's always telling us exactly what he thinks?
Well, coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, we'll hear from Rob Thompson, who lied yesterday. We'll talk about that. 215-5, at least my opinion, he lied. 215-592.
Daryl Morey lied about trading Ben Simmons and immediately traded him. So we're not going to trade Ben. And then traded him. I just want to let you people know that. Not you people, sorry.
I wanted to let you know that people lie.
Yeah, they do. Probably too often. 215-592-9494. All right, Elliot joins us next. A lot to talk about between Jalen, AJ, Brandon Graham, everything moving forward. Is this now a must-win game against the Steelers? And Elliot's going to have to tell us what happened in the locker room Sunday. I heard a little bit of it on the afternoon show yesterday. He was buttoning a player's shirt. We'll talk about it more. 215-592-9494. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.